Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
You know, that's actually not a bad idea, John.
I knew you would like that idea. The minute Morales suggested
face masks.
I want no part of being on a mask. You're the type of guy who would want his own face on a mask.
You don't want our little shield on a mask, like our little Mason and Ireland
shield
on a mask?
I do not want my face, like your face was on your giant birthday cake. It was just a picture of your face. I have no interest in that.
That was a day. That was a party.
And, but if you want to put the shield, sure, I'm all in.
Yeah,
hey, man, we got to talk about this baseball thing. Are you up to speed now? Are you?
Okay. Well, I know that John Heyman said they met face to face. He said they're closing in on a deal. He said that the union has agreed to waive any grievance. And then the MLBPA tweeted out reports of an agreement are false.
Now, the MLBPA's got to get with it. I've been blaming the owners the whole time. This is what they've been asking for: full prorated salary. It's 60 games, which is not perfect.
Right.
But if they want to get in there and negotiate for a few more games and make it 70, I'm okay with that. But we are way past the point now of saying that anything is a deal breaker. Manfred got on a plane. I told you it'd work better if they got off that Zoom call.
Better than a Zoom call. You're absolutely right.
Okay, so Manfred gets on a plane. He agrees to the full prorated salaries. He's got to talk some of these owners who don't want to play into it. If he can talk them into this deal, the players got to do it, mates. They got to do it. This gives us baseball. You do not let perfect be the enemy of good. It's not perfect. But at this point, what in 2020 has even been close to perfect? We want baseball. This deal has to happen, and I'm done supporting the players if they turn it down. 60 or more. If they want to argue for a few more, I'll let them. I mean, I know that they feel strongly about that, but full prorated salary is the whole ball game for them. That's the thing. That's the hill they were going to die on.
And waive the grievance. Waive the billion-dollar grievance
that they were going to file. They've already done
that, right? Okay, so that's, according to Heyman, they've already done that. They've agreed to that. So now it seems like it's just a question of how many games. Now, as a Dodger fan, the more games, the better.
Agreed.
The more games, the better. Because, you know, I said this, I think I said this yesterday or said it to a friend of mine who's a Dodger fan. It's not uncommon for a really good team to lose 7 out of 10. And all of a sudden you lose 7 out of 10 and you find yourself behind the Padres or behind Arizona and they get hot and you're playing catch up for the rest of the 60 games or 65 games or whatever it is. Shorter sample size, smaller sample size, benefits teams that are not as talented as teams that are loaded like the Dodgers. So more games, the better.
Okay, but here's the thing about more games. A lot of owners and Dr. Fauci have all said that you don't want to play past October. You just don't. The NBA is going to be done in early October. The NFL is not worried about anything. They're just going.
They're just going to do whatever.
Yeah. The NBA is getting out. Hockey's getting out. Soccer's getting out. Dr. Fauci says if it's a possibility, you should get out in October.
Now, here's what he actually says.
Well, let me finish this thought.
Go ahead.
Let me finish this thought. So you're saying more games, the better, and I agree with you. Here's the problem. They're talking about if they were to accept this deal over the next couple of days, which I think they should do, that we're thinking maybe July 19th could be a start date.
Yes.
You get them into a spring training. So let's call it July 20th to make it a round number.
We'll start in spring training. Yep.
Yeah, we'll start on July 20th. So, Mace, if you play every day, okay, and that's unrealistic. You've got to give a team a day off maybe once every 2 weeks.
And they're still planning to travel.
Right. So let's say you play 6 out of 7 days, which is probably a little excessive, but let's say for the sake of this discussion, we play 6 out of 7 days. If you start on July 20th and you want to start the playoffs in October, that's pretty much 60 to 70 games.
Right.
Right there. That's it. You can't go much higher than that. And so if the players come back with, look, 60 is low, that number's low to us, will you give us 70? And the owners should say, sure, there's no more deal breakers to me. There's no more hills to die on. Any side that says, no, that's a deal breaker at this point, is not seeing the forest for the trees. That's it. That's
okay.
There may not be time to add the games that you want.
So we all trust Anthony Fauci, right?
Well, he's made the most sense from the beginning.
He's the guy, right? He's the guy. When it comes to epidemiologists, he's like the world champion of epidemiologists. So this is what he said today. If the question is time, I would try to keep it in the core summer months and end it not the way we play the World Series at the end of October when it's cold. I would avoid that. So he's saying basically, if we stay on the normal clock, we could be in trouble. Now, I don't think baseball's got a choice at this point. They're going to have to stay on the normal clock, and they're going to have to figure out a way to keep players safe during that period of time. But Fauci's giving us the advance warning that things could get tricky in October.
Right. So you should try and get out as close as you can. Now, if you want to bleed a couple of weeks into October, nobody knows which way the virus is going to go. And by the way, all these conversations we're having from now and for all future Mason and Ireland shows, COVID could change it all.
Yeah.
COVID, you know, COVID turns on a dime. We know that. If there's a return, if there's a spike, if they tell us you have to shelter at home again, the whole thing could go away. We know that. We're not stupid. But this is the deal that gets, at least gets the players moving towards getting back on the field. I watched a soccer game today. The Korean baseball is still on. I mean, the yep. rest of the world's getting back to sports.
Yes, they are.
This is the deal today that Rob Manfred and Tony Clark cut that should happen. And if the play, you know, like you said, or Lindsay said, somebody said, the players are saying there is no deal, or they issued a statement. The
yeah,
MLBPA.
They issued a statement that there is no deal. That's what the MLBPA released.
All right. We don't care anymore about what your posturing is. Get us this deal is what you asked for. It's full prorated salary. It's not the you wanted to play 89 games. The owners wanted 48. You're at 60, close enough. If you want to argue for 70, go ahead. Haggle for a couple days over 70. But we're coming in between 60 and 70 games just because of the calendar, and the players have got to do this.
Yeah,
this is the deal they want.
If you want to crash and burn this effort, If you want to trash the 2020 season, you are going to set the sport back years. I mean, I'm a huge baseball fan. I love the game. It would break my heart to see it not come back. But they will deserve what they get, which is decreased attendance next year, decreased attention next year, all that stuff. Baseball fans are getting tired of getting jerked around. And this is the beginning. They've got to find a way to amicably get this deal done. And, John, as you said, the pieces are in place. All the players need to do is to agree on the number of games and say yes. The owners have come to the table. They've come to their senses. They've come with full pro rata salaries, which is what the players wanted all along. They've agreed to waive filing any grievance or whatever. So really it is now upon the players to say yes.
And if they don't, I think the whole, I mean, the owners don't need this. They're all billionaires. The players, if this number, if, you know, if the number of games is what all the sports reporters we trust are all saying, and Bill Plunkett's coming on in a couple of minutes, our buddy
yeah.
Bill Plunkett, and he'll get into more of the specifics. But if it starts with a six or a seven, Mace, it's go time.
Yeah.
If the number of games starts with a six or a seven, I'm through messing around with all the other stuff. You full prorated salary is what you guys demanded and said you would not accept anything less. You got it. Now we're arguing about games, and sure, I would like 100 games. Sure, I would like 89 games.
There's no time.
But unless you want to play doubleheaders four times a week, it ain't
right.
happening. All right?
Now, here's what I... reading all about the NBA now and reading all about the NBA's plan, their 33-page manual with all
I read the whole thing.
Details. It's a fantastic read. I strongly recommend it. It's a bestseller on Amazon. The thing I think baseball may be screwing up is not using the bubble concept. You know, owners are now concerned because in nine of the 10 teams in Major League Baseball, play in states with increasing coronavirus cases and increasing hospitalizations. So I wonder if baseball might look back and say, you know what? The NBA was smarter. The NBA had it right. They went to this bubble plan. We should have too.
I don't think you're wrong. I think the bubble plan would be safer. But Mace, the bubble plan, like kind of transitioning to the NBA and the document you talked about, the bubble plan, boy, are they trying to thread a tight needle.
Yeah.
There's a million things. Like, for example, people are making fun of them today because they said you can't play doubles ping pong because you don't want to stand right next to each other. And somebody said to me, well, how stupid is that? You're going to go out and play basketball and you're going to be guarding people and you're going to be in their face, but you can't stand next to them playing ping pong.
Yeah,
it's all about minimizing risk.
Correct.
It's all about why we can't go out of the bubble for 4 hours and come back in. You could. But the reason the NBA drew up the document this way is, look, we're trying to do something really hard here. We're tempting fate. There's a chance a whole team could get coronavirus and this whole thing could go up in smoke. But in the meantime, let's just try and make it as comfortable as possible without doing anything really, really stupid. The one thing that I would get rid of that they did, and I don't think they're going to get rid of it, is the snitch line.
They need the snitch line.
Why do you think they need it?
Here's why. Let's say Laker.
Well, explain what it is first.
Okay, so first of all, if you know someone has left the bubble and they don't tell team officials, like if you leave the bubble, you are immediately quarantined for 4 to 10 days. I'm not sure why that range is there, but 4 to 10 days is how long you're quarantined. If somebody leaves the bubble and they don't report that they have left the bubble, there is a phone number that you can call anonymously and say, hey, player X just went outside the bubble. I think the snitch line is absolutely necessary because it maintains the integrity of the bubble. So think about this. Let's say Laker X, let's just say a Laker goes outside the bubble.
Make it a Clipper to keep me out of trouble.
Okay. Let's say a Clipper goes outside the bubble.
Okay.
And we don't know they went outside the bubble. And they pick up the coronavirus at some other hotel or with some other girl or with some other restaurant or whatever
right.
it happens to be.
Right.
And they bring it back. And the next thing you know, Kawhi Leonard's got it. And he's gone for 2 weeks. Or the next thing you know, and Paul George got it. And he's gone for 2 weeks. It's mandatory 2 weeks quarantine if you test positive for the coronavirus. So, of course you need the snitch line. Otherwise, you're not maintaining the integrity of the bubble.
Here's what I think is going to happen with the snitch line. I think they're going to get 100 false reports. I think they're going to get people calling saying, I saw Paul George at Ralph's.
Wait a minute. Do you really think everybody, there's going to be an overwhelming number of snitches? Nobody wants to be a snitch.
No. Jalen Rose said today, and Jalen and Jacoby, he would call the snitch line was a player.
Bubble integrity is important.
No. Jalen said he would call the snitch line and just make something up. He would go, if I could get LeBron out of the game, why wouldn't I? You know, that's what I think it's going to turn into. I think it's going to turn
really
into.
You really think there's going to be an overwhelming number of false calls to the anonymous?
Well, according to Jalen, they're all going to do it.
Yeah, see, I'm not buying what Jalen's selling there. I'm not buying what Jalen's selling. But I think the integrity of the bubble is going to be incredibly important. You do not want your star players to be exposed to the virus because then they're gone for 2 weeks. If LeBron gets coronavirus, you lose him for 2 weeks.
Okay,
we're
getting away from the point I wanted to make anyway. The snitch line, I would get rid of it. You would keep it.
Everything else
in that plan, which has some rules that seem to be a little bit uptight, I would go back to they're trying something almost impossible. They're trying to play a season with coronavirus, still a daily concern for all of us. If they pull this off, it will be spectacular. It'll be one of the great things any league has ever pulled off.
And by the way, it'll be an incredible accomplishment for Adam Silver, for all of the doctors and the scientists and the owners and all the people that have worked on this plan. I mean, I would stick to the plan. They didn't do any of this stuff by accident. This stuff was all by plan.
You took me right where I want to go. So I, for example, don't love the snitch line. But I would, if I was a player and I read that document and I read all of it, I would say, okay, game on. Let's go. Yep. I can stay away from doubles ping pong, all right? I can stay away from ordering food outside of the bubble. I looked at that document and I went, is some of this a little uptight and probably overly protective? Sure. But you know what? They're trying a miracle. I'll help. I'll follow the document. I'll do everything in the document, and I think I can do it. And if everybody takes that attitude, it's only 35 players in a traveling party or 35 people in a traveling party. If everybody takes that attitude and they pull this off, it'll be one of the great accomplishments in NBA history. And so I hope they do it. They're trying to thread a really, really tight needle.
All right, coming up next for you, Bill Plunkett is going to join us from the Southern California News Group. We'll talk about this deal which is bubbling around and how a limited number of games might hurt the Dodgers. Plus, we'll talk some actual baseball with him. We can now project that there will be a baseball season. I feel comfortable with that. I've heard enough people, I've read enough to believe
they gotta do it.
That there is going to be a baseball season. So let's talk about exactly how good the Dodgers are going to be with Bill Plunkett next, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. You know, we all got friends, people we like, people we talk to every once in a while. And then there's Bill Plunkett, just bring on when we absolutely need to. Bill Plunkett,
Southern
California.
Now, I think
California
Bill coming on during the pandemic to assist us on this very big day is very magnanimous of him. Why are you starting on a bad place?
Because Bill and I have a fake feud that goes way back, right, Bill? Yeah,
yeah. You know, the fake feud really doesn't seem to work anymore. I've heard the way you bully Sliwa. And I think all your negative energy is taken up.
So Bill,
fair point, by the way.
What do you know? What do you know? Are we getting closer?
Bill, I say the players got to do this. They got to do it. Are they going to do it?
Yeah. I have sat back and watched all this stuff for weeks now and never thought there wouldn't be baseball unless something, about the virus made it impossible. There's money to be made for both sides.
Yeah.
Neither side's going to walk away and leave money on the table. So I always thought they would work something out. Today is the first day in a while that neither side has accused the other side of bad faith negotiating. So that's progress.
Bill, the players' union was quick to send out a statement that there is no agreement. What else are they want? Do they want? What else are they holding out for here?
They don't want to give up the right to file a grievance until everything's lined up. That's their ace in the hole, filing a grievance.
Right.
They're not going to just put that aside on the first day. So, you know, whether it's the adding a few more days to the length of the season, whether there's some health protocols that they haven't signed off on yet, and we haven't heard much of anything about that topic, they want to hold on to their ace in the hole.
So it sounds like we're going to get a season, a shortened season. I think
mini season light.
So, Bill, I lived through a very dark period in 2017 when in September the Dodgers lost 16 of 17 games. Do you remember that terrible, terrible skid?
I was there, I think. I assume. I don't remember much.
This is what scares me about a shortened season. Over 162.
What about 18? The beginning of 2018. They were 500, in late May.
Right. Almost to June. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. I was there for that, too. I remember.
Doesn't this get sketchy the shorter the season is for the Dodgers?
Well, the shorter the season, the shorter the sample size, the more room there is for weird stuff to happen. It would have to be really, really weird for the Dodgers not to, say, make the playoffs. First of all, there's going to be 16 teams, so basically all you got to do is go 500.
True.
And
True.
You're in the mix. I wouldn't worry about it. When this was going back and forth on the number of days or number of games, I went back to last year and looked. And by 48 games in, they were already six games up on the Diamondbacks. And by 60 games, I think they were nine games up. They're really good. And whatever you know, whatever the length of the season, if it's shorter and that puts more value on having a deep roster, they got that. If they expand rosters and it's out to 30 or 35 players, that's more to their advantage than anybody else in the league. If the DH is going to be used in both leagues, which is very likely, they've got options, more so than any other team. So, you know, yes, there's more, you know, static in a shorter sample size, but they're still the best team in their division and probably in the league.
Bill, let's talk about the actual team, which is something we haven't done in weeks. We've been so focused on the labor dispute.
You're going to have to remind me of a few things. It's been 3 months. I don't know who's on the roster anymore.
Okay, so that's one of the things I wanted to get into with you. Let's talk about the starting pitching rotation. Is Buehler now clearly moved into the number one slot? Is Kershaw still there? And who's 3, 4, and 5?
As I recall, before the zombie apocalypse, the rotation was going to be Buehler, Kershaw, Price, Urias, Wood.
Okay.
That's pretty darn good.
Right.
Yes, Buehler. You know, it's funny, the word ace. Who's the staff ace? Who's the, you know, the team's ace? You got to define ace. It's not necessarily the best pitcher. That would be Buehler. But the ace means a lot of other things as far as being a leader in the clubhouse, the role model for the other guys in rotation, those kind of things. And as long as Kershaw is in the rotation, pitching effectively, he's going to be the ace, no matter how good Buehler is.
So let's talk about closer, because last year, I mean, if you Kenley Jansen on the surface had a good year, but the peripherals were not as good as they have been in years past. Have we seen his performance degrade, and what are the expectations for him this year?
Yes, his performance has degraded. He is still an above-average closer. He may not be the best closer in the league or the, you know, 1% top elite closer, but he's still a very good closer. And, you know, it's faded in memory now, but he put in an awful lot of work this offseason to try and get back some velocity and movement on his cutter, you know, the bread and butter that made him what he is. We don't know yet whether that worked, because it was just, you know, he had a handful of appearances in spring training games, which don't tell you a whole lot. But all indications from the work he put in are that he's going to get back some of what he's lost over the last 3 years.
Bill Plunkett, who covers the Dodgers for... Bill, how many papers do you now appear in?
It's 11.
11.
So chances are, if you live anywhere in the state of Southern California, you can read Bill.
Right. I read you in the Woodland Hills Bugle.
Yeah, that's one of the strong 11 right there.
Okay. So last year, there were a bunch of young guys who kind of infiltrated the lineup who I assume now are fixtures. For example, Gavin Lux, fixture at second. Will Smith, fixture at catcher. Max Muncy now locked in at first base. Are those all safe assumptions?
No, yes, no.
Okay.
I got to put those together in my head. No, and then yes, and then a no.
No to Will Smith?
Gavin Lux is not locked in at second.
Why?
I think they hadn't made up their mind in spring training, and there was the possibility that he opened the season in AAA.
Really?
Yeah, and that's not, you know, any knock on Gavin. They just have so many options, they don't have to force a young player.
So you've got Muncy or Kike that you can play at second base, you can move...
Taylor, or you can, you know, mix and match, and Lux plays some, but not every day.
Beatty goes to first base. I mean, you're right. It is a jigsaw puzzle that's probably the envy of every manager in the league.
Yes. Yeah.
Bill, is what you just said have anything to do with service time? Would they benefit by keeping him down?
I asked that question multiple times in spring, back when we were there. And, no, of course not. You know, that kind of answer. But, yeah, I think it's like a back burner. You know, well, if we get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The defense that they made was, look at the way we've handled young players. We haven't toyed around. When a guy's ready, we play him. And that's been the case for the last 5 years. They really have not held back on moving young guys into important roles. Look at Bellinger when he came up.
Right.
Shuler when he came up. Will Smith, well, you know, once he had a taste of it, and then in August they made him the everyday guy.
All right, so let's talk about the outfield. Because Mookie Betts has arrived, I assume he goes into right, Bellinger's your everyday center fielder, and it's a Pollock-Peterson platoon in left, or is it something other than that?
No, I think that's it for the most part. I think this DH thing adds an interesting little twist to it.
Oh, I forgot about that, yeah.
If you're having a DH every day, then you don't necessarily have to platoon. You can play Pollock and Peterson, although they still don't want to expose Peterson to left-handed pitching.
Yeah.
So maybe Taylor or Kike plays more left field and Pollock DHs more often. You know, Justin Turner probably will get a lot of DH time just to protect his legs. Max Muncy might get some DH time just based on the other moving parts. So
if Turner's the DH, who plays third?
Taylor Hernandez could.
Okay.
Every guy in that roster plays three positions. I mean, yeah. It's just ridiculous the value they place on versatility.
So, Bill, when I look at the division, I think most people think Arizona might be the team to watch. I actually think San Diego might be the team to watch. San Diego could run second in the division this year. I like Paddock a lot.
I think San Diego is a team on the rise. The big question there is they have a new manager this season. How does that play out? And it's a first-time manager, someone who, you know, we don't really have a track record with. Does he light a fire under them and they – you know, all those young guys get excited and come out of the gates, you know, really dangerous. I think Arizona has played the Dodgers the toughest over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And I give them credit for that, give Torey Lovullo credit for that. So, you know, either one of them could get hot and challenge them in this kind of a format.
All right. Hey, listen, Bill. By the way, you will not be traveling, I'm assuming, this year.
No, it certainly doesn't look that way. I don't know. Whatever they're talking about doing with the media has not trickled out very much. So they're either not thinking about us at all, or we just don't want to know what they're thinking about us.
Oh, you poor beat writers. Nobody thinks about the beat writers, do they, Bill?
Oh, please. Pumping around the country, remember?
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, this was really fun. We haven't actually talked about baseball itself in like 3 months, so thank you for doing this.
Yeah, you called me this 3 months. I figured that Bergman had deleted his contact list when he got fired or something.
Well, you know, I wanted to introduce you to Lindsay, who's our new producer. You will not be hearing from Bergman anymore.
Yeah, I know. That's a darn shame.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
That was a good riddance. Trust
this
me.
Is a big step up. This is a big step up for us, Bill.
I'm way nicer. Trust me.
I look forward to the daily quick streets. That's the most important thing every day.
That'll be Bergman's legacy.
Thanks, Bill.
Fast track. Thank you, Bill.
You got it, guys. Take care.
I like Bill. He's a regular listener to the show.
God bless him.
We need more
of him.
We need more beat writers like Bill.
Hey,
hang on every word.
By the way, didn't that surprise you about Lux? Did you think there was a chance in your own head that Lux would start in the minors?
I didn't, but you mentioned the service time thing, and that really makes me wonder. The service time thing really makes me wonder. Although I didn't look at his spring numbers.
We should explain that. When a player starts in the major leagues, his service time clock starts. And so in the past, teams like this happened with Chris Bryant from the Cubs. He was, you know, he won the MVP. They held him down in the minors for longer than most people thought was normal, just so they could hang on to him for an extra year. That's what we're talking about with service time. They may be doing that with Lux.
Yeah, they very well could be. Very well could be. All right, coming up next for you, it sounds like Dwight Howard is going to play, and Avery Bradley has become a question mark, according to the LA Times. So we'll get into that coming up next for you. And then birthday of the day is coming up after that. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, what's up? It's Wednesday. We're getting closer to a baseball deal. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. It sounds like it's going to happen anyway. The MLBPA says no deal yet, but John Heyman says that Tony Clark and Rob Manfred got into a room today, and they have zeroed in on potentially a 60-game season for Major League Baseball, which would stretch to its normal October playoffs, which is better than I expected.
They got to do it, man. They got to do it. I mean, the time has come to stop your arguing and your taking a stand and everything. Let's play. Let's go.
Yep. All right. So there has been a lot of talk about this Players Coalition that exists. Avery Bradley is part of it. Dwight Howard is part of it. Kyrie Irving is sort of leading the way. And the LA Times today is reporting that they think Dwight Howard is on track to play, but that Avery Bradley's plans seem kind of murky so far, that he hasn't indicated that he's going to play, at least not 100%. And it got us to thinking what the Lakers would do if they don't have Avery Bradley. And again, this is based on the idea that Avery Bradley decides not to play, which is totally within his rights.
Well, let me start there. That if any player, including Avery Bradley or Dwight Howard, decides not to play, I'm not holding it against him. Maybe they're right. I'm not so sure any of us know what the real answers are. And I was impressed with the things that Avery Bradley asked for yesterday when they were talking about, you know, I thought he really advanced the cause. And so, but let's entertain your premise.
Yeah.
And talk about, let's say those two guys, for whatever reason, and I think if they decide not to play, or any player from any team decides not to play, I'm not going to hold it against them. It's whatever your personal feelings are towards whatever's happening in the world, and there's a lot happening in the world.
This, by the way, is exactly what Tanya Ganguly and Brad Turner wrote. There is a belief around the organization that Howard plans to play, while Bradley's plans are less clear according to people with knowledge of the situation.
Okay, so let's say that that plays out exactly how you just described.
Yes.
Dwight is averaging, I think, around 19 minutes per game.
Right.
19.2. Avery Bradley, if we look at his minutes per game, is averaging 24 minutes per game. So you would have to replace 24 minutes per game. Here's
yes.
the good news. The guy who would get most of those minutes, I think,
yeah,
would be Alex Caruso. And that's not a bad thing.
So you'd run with a backcourt of Alex Caruso and KCP.
Well, KCP doesn't start. Okay. So he would get those minutes as well. And KCP is having a very good year.
So your backcourt, you got Rondo, you got Caruso, KCP.
I think your starting backcourt would become either Danny Green and Caruso, or Danny Green and KCP, and maybe Rondo, just because he's got experience. But if KCP took half of, took 12 of, well, let's split it up between the three of them.
Okay.
Let's say KCP took, we've got to replace, what did I say for Avery Bradley?
24 minutes.
24 minutes, okay? So let's say that means 8 more minutes for KCP, 8 more minutes for Alex Caruso, and maybe 4 more for Rondo, and 4 more for Quinn Cook. Okay? That's not terrible.
But do you think that makes up for the loss of Avery Bradley as a defender, particularly when you face teams like Houston and the Clippers?
Avery
is missing. You're missing a defender.
Yeah, but Caruso's a good defender. If you look at his defensive metrics, and so is KCP.
KCP's been great.
Rondo gets a lot of steals. I don't know if you would refer to him as a great on-ball defender. He's been all defense in his career before, but he's older now.
No, statistically, he's a below-average defender.
Although he's very good at stealing the ball.
He does steal, yep.
You know, I think that I would still, like, you know, I'm biased, and I picked the Lakers to win the whole thing. If it played out the way the LA Times is suggesting, Dwight plays, Avery doesn't, I would still pick the Lakers. Would you?
If Dwight plays and Avery doesn't,
yeah,
I'll stick with the Lakers.
you know, it's not like they're losing LeBron or AD, but.
But again, we look through the the purple and gold lenses of these glasses that we wear, as fans of the team,
and we don't know what Deion Waiters is.
No,
we don't know.
We think we know what he is.
He's a heat check guy.
Yeah, I mean, he can come out and get you 14 points.
Now, Jared Dudley went on ESPN Radio in New York last night. And Dudley talked about some of these things. First of all, he talked about how outspoken Avery Bradley and Dwight Howard have been. Here's Jared Dudley last night on ESPN New York.
Man, I'm a big Avery Bradley fan. Obviously a great teammate. I just think when you're dealing with this, Avery's one of those strong advocates of what's going on and how do we change immediately. And to be honest with you, I can understand where some of these players are coming from because players do want some change. And so I think there's definitely needs to be some dialogue between the union and players that aren't in the union, meeting with ownerships, meeting with different groups about how we can come together. And maybe that is. I think for certain there should be more minorities in organizations and front office. I think, you know, football has the Rooney Rule and basketball has done a phenomenal job. And so I just think that it's something that some of those things don't get changed in one day. And so that's why some people are not patient enough to wait. And that's something I have to have a conversation with Avery. But I'm with Avery in the sense of, like, yes, I want to see the NBA to be able to do that and hear different plans. But this is more of a, I want to do it together. It's not, well, hey, if you don't do this, we're not playing. I think that we're the NBA is so progressive, Adam Silver, and such key in working with players. I think the ownerships, maybe not every owner, but most ownerships and the league would definitely come together and work with us and give some of their insight and ideas of how they can change.
Yeah, so it sounds like what Danny's getting at there is the broader issue, which is that that they did accomplish something. This idea that they would advance minority positions to decision making positions in NBA franchises, better opportunities there, that NBA owners would contribute more to social justice issues and to Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, those sorts of things, I think the NBA is going to go along with. I think the NBA is going to advance those issues exactly the way that Players Coalition wanted. I guess the fact that Avery is still up in the air, at least according to the LA Times, must have to do with going into the bubble, the very concept of the bubble.
Well, Jared Dudley talked about that too. Here's Dudley talking about going into the bubble.
I mean, for one, you're not going to see family members for 6 weeks. You can't see anybody in the bubble to after the first round of the playoffs. And then even with that, if you want a family member, a wife, a child, a fiance, they have to quarantine for 3 days in a hotel room by themselves before they even see you. So technically, you could be past the first round, and you could be down 2-0, 3-0. Your wife has been quarantined for 3 days, and maybe you see her 1 or 2 days before you have to leave if you get swept. So the sacrifice of family, that is. But let's be honest. I mean, like, there's a lot of unemployment people that want to work, that want to provide for their families. And so I do look at it as a sacrifice that to be able to do that for your loved ones, but I also look at it as we're getting paid a lot of money to be able to do that, and maybe we use this money and donations we can to help our communities out. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that if you play, we do make back financially. So that's one sacrifice. You can't leave your bubble. You are restricted of what you're doing. Now they're going to make it the best case inside where movies and bowling and that. But if I want to leave to go somewhere to grab something to eat, I can't do that. If I do, I have to quarantine for 10 to 14 days. And so, you know, you're staying in these hotels, you're restricted, and it's something that is going to be mental toughness and physical to be able to win this championship. So a team that can do it the best, you know, they're going to earn it.
You know something interesting? Do you know there's only one Laker this year who's played in every game? They've played 63 games. There's only one guy who's played in every game. You know who it is? You want to guess?
Well, I guess you're teeing up Jared Dudley.
No, Jared Dudley's played in 40.
Who? I don't know. Who are you teeing up?
It's KCP.
Oh, well, KCP, sure.
And he's third on the team in minutes per game.
Well, KCP's been fantastic this year. After a really rough start shooting, he settled into a nice three-point stroke.
Yeah, he's shooting 39%.
he's one of the better on-ball defenders they've got right now. He's done a great job in the backcourt. KCP has had a tremendous year.
So if he gets half the minutes and Alex Caruso gets the majority of the other half, I think they'd be fine. But I like Avery Bradley. I hope he plays. And again, like I said yesterday in the show, while holding nothing against anybody who decides for whatever reasons they have not to go down there, I'm not just saying this. I wouldn't hold it against any player if he decided that he just didn't want to go into the campus or into the bubble. I think that there are going to be people that don't go. And you've got to tell the league you've got a week. You got to tell them by June 24th.
Right.
So we'll know who's going and who isn't going in a week. And so he's got some time here. I would argue, if I was close friends with Avery, I would argue, look, you've done a great job of putting some issues out there on the front burner that I think are going to happen. You can continue to advocate for those from a stronger position if you're playing.
Right.
But he may come back with, look, it's too important. I can't focus. I'm focused on this.
Or it may be, and it also may be he's just not comfortable from a health perspective.
Sure.
Could mean he doesn't want to be 6 months away or 6 weeks away from his family. It could be any of those reasons.
You know, you and I are a good example of that. I'm kind of back to normal. You're still very much being more respectful of COVID than I am.
Yeah, like we our TV quit yesterday, and so we had curbside delivery. We drove up to the Best Buy and got a new TV and drove away.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Why didn't you go to Mir? He would have given you an unbelievable deal, and you would have got a way better
TV. TVs are so cheap. We don't get fancy TVs.
Oh, you know,
the TV we got was $400.
Isaac would have given you a deal.
That's probably why it broke.
No, this last TV lasted for 7 years.
Because you got it from Isaac.
Yeah, no, this TV will be fine. This TV will be fine. $400.
By the way, question.
In the NBA bubble, do you support the snitch line to maintain the integrity of the bubble and keep other players safe? And I even use the term snitch line. What percentage do you think yes, they support the snitch line?
50%.
Yeah, it is. It's 51%.
Yeah.
51-49 in favor
some people
of the
snitch
line.
Some people have a straight no snitch rule. The old snitches get stitches rule. They hate snitches. Other people are like you. They're rule followers. They want to protect the integrity of the bubble.
And want to protect my teammates.
But
you don't just do it for yourself. You do it for your teammates.
If it was up to me, I probably wouldn't want to put a snitch line in. But like I said before, they are trying to thread a very small needle. I'm all in on the 33 pages. I will not play doubles ping pong. I will not leave the bubble. I will not order food from outside the bubble.
Me either.
I think for two, three months in exchange for a chance to win the championship, and I think there's only three teams that have a real shot.
Yep.
Lakers, Clippers, Bucks. I'm all in on the 33 pages, even if it seems restrictive, including the snitch line.
Yes.
I'm in.
All right. Coming up next for you is birthday of the day. Also, by the way, did you get a chance to watch The Five Bloods?
I did. I watched it last night.
Unbelievable movie. Spike Lee movie on Netflix right now.
And really, Mace, it is, you've felt this way for a long time, but it is a really good evidence of the fact that Netflix movies now are basically like theatrical releases.
Like a feature film, absolutely.
Right. This is really well shot. It's incredibly well cast. If you like The Wire, two of the four leads came from The Wire.
Yes.
Lester Freeman and Clay Davis from The Wire are two of the four leads.
And Delroy Lindo, who is unbelievable in this, especially when you get towards the end of it, he is unbelievable in this thing. He will join us at 4:30. If you have not watched The Five Bloods, written and directed by Spike Lee, it is on Netflix now. You should absolutely watch it, and Delroy is coming up. Birthday of the day is next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Birthday of the day! Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. So let's go through the birthdays for today and then decide who has the birthday of the day. Everybody has a vote here. So up first, at the age of 77, Barry Manilow, he writes the songs that make the whole world sing. He does the At the Copacabana song, and he recorded the first 45 that I ever bought, which was Mandy. You Came and You Gave Without Taking. Mandy, first 45 I ever bought.
I may be mistaken, But I think I remember Amanda Brown telling us that that's where her parents came up with the idea for her name.
Wow. Wow.
Was the Barry Manilow song. I may be wrong about that, but I thought that's what she said.
There you go. At the Copacabana. Barry Manilow, 77 years old. Don't think the winner, but he's in the chase here. Greg Kinnear turns 57 today. Now, John, have I ever told you the Greg Kinnear story?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Former host of Talk Soup.
Correct. And there was a point where Bob Costas was leaving the Later Show. Do you remember Later on NBC?
Yeah, well, I'm an insomniac. I used to watch it every night.
So there were three. This was when I was doing the Snyder Show. There were three finalists for the job. It was Chris Rock. Boy, I was Greg Kinnear and me. I was in that. I was one of three. And it went to Kinnear over me and Chris Rock. He nailed it. He left after 2 years, went on to become an actor. Was nominated for an Oscar for As Good As It Gets. Really, really good actor. But he did steal a job from me.
Well, how come those two guys have gone on to fame and fortune and you're still stuck working with me?
I'm working with you. I know. There was a minute there. I always say this. There was a minute there.
That was your window. That was your sliding doors moment.
There was a minute there where if I go to I auditioned for Talk Soup one time and the guy from Queer as Folk got it. What's that guy's name? Max. But I was right there for Talk Soup, too. All right, Joe Piscopo, 69 years old today. He was really funny until he became a bodybuilder. Bodybuilders are not funny.
Yeah, and he skyrocketed on SNL and never really – that was turned out to be the height. That was his apex, was SNL.
His Frank Sinatra was – he did a great Frank Sinatra.
Remember when Eddie Murphy used to play – Stevie Wonder.
Yep.
You are black and I am white. You are blind as a bat and I have sight. Side by side, my amigo. That was great.
Oh, it was fantastic. All right, the one who I definitely am going to vote for is Kendrick Lamar, one of the most influential artists of this generation.
I'm not voting for him.
2014, To Pimp a Butterfly is whether you're a hip hop guy or not. You should listen to Pimp a Butterfly. It's an incredible album. Did the Black Panther soundtrack.
You are severely underrating the last name on this list.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
It's Venus. Venus Williams. For people who don't know, Venus Williams was Serena before Serena. She was eclipsed by her sister. But Venus was a megastar in tennis before Serena passed her up. And they were sisters that came out of the inner city. And Venus, I can't believe Venus is 40.
Yeah, 40 years old.
She had some health problems, but Venus was on top of the world. And really, there was a tennis player, an African-American tennis player named Althea Gibson. But before that, just African-American women just didn't break through in tennis until the Williams sisters came along. And people forget that Venus was first, and she rocketed to number one in the world. So she's my birthday. I'm picking Venus. And by the way, it's a big one for her. She turns 40 today.
Yeah, 5 Wimbledons, 2 U.S. Opens, Grand Slam as a doubles player, 4 Olympic gold medals, including a singles gold medal in Sydney in 2000. Great player, great, great star. I'm voting for Kendrick Lamar. You're with Venus Williams. Funch and Lindsay, you guys are going to decide.
So, Funch, this is a hard one for you because I know you like both of those people.
I actually was going to vote for Joe Piscopo based on...
No!
I watched old SNLs, with Joe Piscopo and Eddie Murphy, and just based on a skit that John was talking about, I know about that skit, I'm going to go with Joe Piscopo.
I wonder...
Joe Piscopo!
Mace, could we play that skit in 2020 or would we get in trouble?
I'm trying to remember it. I'm trying to remember the lyrics past what you did.
I will check, but I feel
you're
like...
You're as blind as a bat, and I have sight.
Side by side, my amigo, and I stopped on the next word because that's the one I thought might get us in
yeah,
trouble.
No, can't do it. Shouldn't do it. Shouldn't do it.
I don't think so.
Not in good taste anymore. Yes. So you vote Joe Piscopo. Lindsay, you can be the deciding vote here.
Yeah, you can be the decider unless you vote for Barry Manilow.
No, definitely not voting for Barry Manilow. Had enough listening to him in car rides when I was younger. I want to vote for Kendrick Lamar, but I feel like Venus Williams transcended the sport of tennis.
Yes, she did. Girl power,
people,
Lindsay. Vote for Venus.
Watch that would never have watched in a million years, and still to this day, She's just up there as one of the best.
That's so I'm all right. There you have it.
You guys know that Will Smith is going to be playing her dad in a movie, right?
No, Richard? Really?
Yeah, Richard Williams.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, there you have it. Venus Williams is the birthday of the day.
I remember Richard Williams, who obviously was a hugely successful father. I mean, he raised two incredible tennis players.
Yes.
But I remember at the U.S. Open or at Wimbledon, he had a sign that he held up, and it said something like, "It's Venus's party, and none of you are invited." And I thought it was like a Michael Jordan moment. You know how Michael got up at his Hall of Fame speech and basically just shredded everybody ever doubted him?
Yep.
It's like I got the impression that Richard was tough on those girls. But you got to give him credit because look at him.
Paid off.
You know, look at
absolutely
him, yeah.
Paid off. All right, coming up next for you, it is the anniversary of two really big things.
At least two.
Yeah. I've got two. I don't know. I don't think I know the third one.
I have two. Five.
You have five?
Yeah.
Okay.
But one is gigantic.
One is gigantic.
One, if you put on the air tonight, even the replay, it would win the night in the TV race.
No question. No question. Yeah. We got that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.